Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and joining us for today's program, we have Jade Williams, adult gerontology, primary care nurse practitioner, talking about perimenopause and menopause. We'll be covering signs and symptoms and what can help to relieve or help to alleviate some of these symptoms. So it's going to be a great program. Before we get started, I have a few announcements to share. First of all, the program this week is being recorded. I do want to share, though, that at the time that the show is aired, we have an open house going on for Mercy One Iowa Heart Center as they have established their new cardiology clinic inside Van Deest Medical Center. It is going on from 8 to 10 a.m. this morning, and so once the program is finished up, if you're available, we invite you to come out to the open house. You can check out the space. Cardiology clinic is located right off the specialty clinic waiting area, and so you'll have a chance to see where patients register, even the exam rooms that the cardiologists see patients, and we encourage the public to come out, take a look around. We'll have refreshments there. Again, we're so excited to have Mercy One Iowa Heart Center offering a full-time cardiology clinic at Van Deest Medical Center. Also, I do want to share, we're welcoming a new oncologist to our visiting specialist team. Dr. Sydney Brehaney is a native of Algona, Iowa, and she brings a very impressive background to the team at Mission Cancer in Blood. She specializes in breast and gynecological cancers, as well as hereditary cancer syndromes. And we're very excited that she will be providing oncology care at our hospital. She is starting with us today, and she will see patients on the first and third Wednesdays of each month going forward. If you have questions for Dr. Sydney, maybe questions about how to schedule an appointment, you can call 515-832-7746. And then lastly, I want to share, we have another provider who has joined us at Van Deest Family Health Clinic in Webster City. We have welcomed Jessica, she goes by Jess Krukenberg, and she is a nurse practitioner. She has joined Van Deest Family Health Clinic and is now seeing patients. You can call to schedule an appointment at 515-832-7800. Or you can go online and use our new online patient scheduling system to make an appointment. It's very easy. You could go to our website at vandeestmc.org, and at the very top of the homepage, there is a schedule online button. So if you haven't already, I encourage you to check it out. You can see the providers that are available. You can schedule an appointment at your convenience or with their first availability. And with that, I think we're going to get started into our program today. As I mentioned, very excited to have Jade Williams joining us for today's program. We are going to be talking about perimenopause and menopause, those signs and symptoms I know many women are familiar with. We're also going to offer solutions, what can help relieve or help to alleviate some of those symptoms. So, joining us, Jade Williams, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Lori.
Thank you for being here on the show today.
Thank you.
Great topic to be talking about. There are a lot of women who kind of fall in this period of perimenopause, menopause, and so are tuned in and looking for some of these solutions, I know. Maybe start with, like, this population that we're talking about.
Right. So, first of all, thanks for trusting me with this topic.
Absolutely.
Some of the listeners might be wondering what would make me, you know, a candidate to speak about this. But with the population that I tend to manage as well as my own personal situations, this is right up my alley. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the perimenopause and menopause, we're really actually speaking to those around 35 and over, onwards up into our 50s. So I just thought it would be nice maybe to start off with defining mm-hmm. what perimenopause and menopause really means. So when we're speaking about the perimenopause, this is really that transitional period where we see in women could start as early as 35. Generally speaking, we tend to think more so of the age of 40, but we can also tend to see some of these signs and symptoms that I'll be discussing in a little bit here start to take effect or see those changes as early as 35. so then this period is when our body actually starts to produce less estrogen and leads to changes in the menstrual cycle as well. And then menopause is actually defined as not having a period for 12 consecutive months. And some literature states, you know, it's actually just one day within a woman. And then from that point on, you become classified as postmenopausal. But for today, you know, I'm really just going to be speaking of menopause as a general state, as well as the perimenopause. So current research is trying to explore how these hormonal changes are affecting women's mental health, bone health, and cardiovascular health during this time frame, and what are some things that we can do to help women going through this time in their life. You know, a lot of research notes that women kind of have these varying states. We're flexible in many ways, and this is one of them. And this being so, women tend to kind of have a big shift, and then you kind of plateau off, and then we have another shift. So this is where our body just kind of starts to get us prepared for that, you know, postmenopausal state and no longer able to essentially have carry a baby. When we're speaking about menopause in general, you know, the biggest concern is that women can tend to develop what we call metabolic disorder or metabolic disease, which is really wide encompassing, but puts you at risk for diabetes. It puts you at risk for things such as osteoporosis, as well as thyroid conditions. And then from there, also different changes within our mental health state. So overall, it could really be affecting total component of your well-being as mm-hmm. a woman. So just to point out some common signs and symptoms of perimenopause and menopause, women might start to experience these at different points, but we tend to all be experiencing them at some point or another, and maybe in varying forms. Mm-hmm. So some of these could be more intense for some women, while, you know, some might not necessarily experience, say, a hot flash as extensively, but there is hope. There are medications on the horizon for that as well. So common symptoms specifically that we start to see are those hot flashes and night sweats. And so this is where you start to just feel like you are engulfed in a fire.
In flames.
Right. Those hot flashes and night sweats, unfortunately, can carry you through for an extended period of time. It's really as those hormonal level changes, and it's the way that your brain responses to those changes, and it doesn't quite know what to do with the stimuli and knows that there's something going on. And so it might not necessarily know how to externally project those changes. So one really amazing way to offset these, research is showing, is you can utilize a sauna. And I know those aren't necessarily common so much in rural areas, but if a woman can get into a sauna and even just doing five minute increments, it's teaching your body, this is what's hot, this is what that means, this is what you should do, which then should start to help offset when it sees a stressor, because that's really what typically causes them, is some type of external stressor, that hopefully it won't produce such an exorbitant hot flash mm-hmm. within the system. So another symptom that women tend to experience, and this would be more so in that perimenopause, would be the irregular periods. That's where your period starts to become shorter in length, can also become lighter, or sometimes more heavier than usual. And this is kind of that point where if you are a tracker or you're really in tune to kind of your cycle, you can start to monitor these. This is where we start to see maybe women's menstrual cycle length going from 28 days to maybe 25. And if that starts to become a pattern over a couple months, you know, then you might want to go and start having a conversation with your primary care doctor about what that could mean for you. Also, if you've always had a actual menstruation that's about 5 days in length, then we start to see that going to like 2 days or 3 days, or it's four, but it's extremely light, or you might only have one heavy day. Those would all be things to go talk with your primary care provider about. Another uncomfortable situation is the vaginal dryness, and this can lead to discomfort, you know, when you're maybe trying to be intimate with your partner, or just as a woman in general. And this is unfortunately one of those things that I have a wide population that deals with, and that's because as their estrogen levels drop, the ability of that area changes. And so we start to see risk for urinary tract infections, and you know, the women become uncomfortable, and the symptoms they're experiencing might make them think that they're also experiencing a UTI. So this is another good time to go and have a conversation with your provider to kind of discuss what some options might be for you to help alleviate those symptoms. Urinary issues, once again, women could be experiencing some type of incontinence, as well as those frequent urinary tract infections. And so another good reason to go speak with your provider. Mood changes, irritability, anxiety, depression, or mood swings. Unfortunately, as your hormone levels change, you could start to experience these different shifts. And so starting to think about what you can do to maybe offset or help alleviate some of those. And a great one for this is actually exercise, whether that's getting out and walking and trying to just get some sunshine exposure, even in these cold months, mm-hmm. or starting to really define a workout plan or a regimen, so to speak. This is one of the best ways to offset some of those symptoms itself. Sleep problems such as insomnia or trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. You know, I can speak to that. You're very tired, you go to sleep, but then you wake up maybe, you know, at 2 a.m. and you feel like you've been asleep all night. And so, you know, once again, going back to the working out, that if you're kind of not necessarily completely emptying the tank, but if you're getting out some of that energy that you have throughout the day, and kind of you're focusing and engaging those different senses and building actually neuronal pathways in your brain, then you will tend to see that your sleep habits should also improve as well. Or if you do wake up, it's much easier for you to get back to sleep. Mm-hmm. Weight gain or changes in your body shape. You know, unfortunately, this is a time in a woman's life where you start to see an increase in visceral fat. And so we tend to see changes as you start to maybe carry more weight in your abdomen. And so you can definitely go visit with your provider about that. Joint aches and pains, stiffness or painful joints. This could be anything from your shoulder hurting to your thumb to your lower back. Difficulty walking at times, and then those headaches such as migraines, tension, and then lastly, memory and focus issues. So unfortunately, the signs and symptoms of perimenopause and menopause is quite broad, and so if you kind of start to notice that something is off on you, this is a really good time to go visit with your primary care doctor or even a gynecological or women's health provider, just to see if this is where you're at and you're starting these changes or within that realm and what they can do for you. You know, research is suggesting that these symptoms aren't necessarily just related to hormonal fluctuations, but also are impacted by lifestyle factors. So really thinking about the diet as well as stress and alcohol intake. And so you know, we're seeing that if we can implement some type of a regimen or within your life, you know, I'm not saying you have to go and start throwing weights around or anything like that, but if you can start to incorporate something where you're really designating even just 30 minutes a day to something that will benefit you, you can start to see some improvement in some of these symptoms. I'm not saying necessarily we can alleviate them completely, but they can hopefully become more manageable for you. And then eating that well balanced diet, really thinking about your fiber intake. If you can get in 30 grams of fiber a day, Mayo is stating that you can reduce a myocardial infarction, so a heart attack, by 15%. And so unfortunately, as women go through these changes, you're at an increased risk for cardiovascular issues. So what better way than to incorporate some good fiber into your diet? So I'd already kind of discussed on each of those symptoms when you should go see your healthcare provider, but there are some pretty big red flags on when you should absolutely go see your providers. And one of those specifically is if you start to experience some pretty significant heavy bleeding, and that's with your menstruation or menstrual cycle, or breakthrough bleeding, so before or after your cycle. If you're starting to notice that you're having this unusual heavy bleeding and you're soaking through your feminine hygiene products, those would be a reason to definitely go and get evaluated. As well as if you're experiencing such things as severe mood swings, you know, if you're having extreme feelings of sadness, anger, or anxiety, and it's affecting your daily life or changing things that you would typically be doing, making it difficult to go to work, or you feel like, you know, it's difficult for you to maybe manage your household or other things that you might be in charge of, that's a good time to go and visit with your provider. Unexplained weight gain, you know, a sudden and unexplained increase in weight, that's another red flag. And I know that's difficult because one of the signs and symptoms of this time is that you could potentially start to gain weight. But if you feel like in light of even making minimal changes to your lifestyle, things aren't seeming to equate, that would be a time to be evaluated. And then, of course, any painful sex or urinary incontinence, that's something that definitely your primary care can help you offset. And then if you start to experience any new constipation or bloating. And so, you know, not necessarily to scare you, but these are unfortunately signs and symptoms of different types of gynecological cancers. And so it's imperative to go and be evaluated by a medical provider. And then there are treatment options available out there, and this is all a good reason then to go to your medical provider. They can discuss options such as hormone replacement therapy with you, non-hormonal medications that are available, and then what would be your other options for, say, non-prescription medications, which I do have a couple tips on those here at the end. So, and then thinking about ways for you to stay fit and active. So when women are going through this shift, I kind of mentioned that we're flexible, and we are also known to be metabolically flexible. So throughout our whole life, estrogen has played this immense role in allowing for that. And so we do differ from men on a level from that component. And so if we're looking at trying to stay fit and active, as we're going through these changes, the things that might have worked for you maybe in your early 30s aren't necessarily going to be working in your 40s because of those changes that are taking place. Women need more of a stimulus to create that response. So thinking about if you want to incorporate a weight lifting program, you would need to think about doing heavy lifting. And so that's much different than low weight, high repetition. We're looking at, you need something that's going to really stress the central nervous system to help create that response. Same goes for if you're trying to incorporate a higher protein diet. Unfortunately, women who are going through perimenopause and menopause are going to require higher levels of protein versus what you might have been eating even at 35 before necessarily starting that transition. So it's always good to see what's out there, but also these are very specific things and that you need to be sure you have a trusted medical professional that you can kind of discuss so that you're having some assistance in how this new plan could look and work for you. And then thinking about what to do for cardiovascular health, the best thing for women, unfortunately, is studies have shown if you can do one to two high intensity sessions a week that come in a 4-minute block. So I know that sounds quite minimal, but you give it your all for 30 seconds and then you recover. And kind of recover has to be determined on your own stance. You know, sometimes it's 30 seconds, sometimes you might need 45, and you just run this cycle for 4 minutes of high intensity, not leaving anything out there. Unfortunately, the walking and, you know, the long miles of jogging and things of that nature aren't going to necessarily provide you the best benefit. But if that's something that you enjoy doing and it brings you a sense of peace, you know, a lot of females might choose to jog because it's kind of their time to clear their head. Or biking or, you know, things like that, then
for sure.
If those are all things that you enjoy doing, then it still has value, but it just might not necessarily get you to your end goal, or you might not see the changes or improvements that you were hoping to see just based off of using those. So,
and it could even be that they continue to do that form of exercise because it is as much for their mental health as their physical health, but it is... Like if you're in this stage of life, you know, kind of carving out some of that, like just to try it, try the high intensity. It's research shows it's what women this age need to be doing.
Right.
And so like try it, incorporate it in, maybe give up some of that walking or biking, jogging, whatever it might be, to add this in as a component of your exercise program.
Right. So, and we all have a very limited schedule these days. And so really trying to just get the best out of your workouts. So that would be my recommendation for that. And then of course, thinking about yoga and stretching, reducing stress, improving your flexibility and improving that joint stiffness, or trying to improve whatever it is that you're experiencing. You might not necessarily be able to get rid of it completely, but doing the yoga will definitely help just improve. And it's also a great challenge for yourself, really. Like, it's crazy.
It really is, because it is just, it's your practice.
Right.
And they refer to it as a yoga practice because it's evolving all the time. And your flexibility changes, and it's not about what anybody else can do. You're focused on what you can do.
Right. And it's just seeing how much you can challenge yourself and what that looks like. So, yeah, it's a great thing. And then moving on, so just to talk a little bit about some natural remedies to offset the symptoms that I had originally outlined. You know, I am a provider, but this is not necessarily, golden medical advice. I still want you to go and have a visit with your provider, whoever that may be, before you go, you know, just bring in something into your regimen. But some things to consider that have been shown to offset some of these symptoms that you can experience are vitamin E. This is a vitamin that you can take, purchase over the counter. There are, you know, limits to how much of it you can take. We don't recommend more than 400 international units a day. But vitamin E specifically can help offset hot flashes and insomnia. take it before bed. And we also recommend that if you do choose to take it, you want to take it with a meal that's going to contain fat. So that could even just be a handful of nuts, a little bit of avocado, or even some high fat yogurt. Will help you get the best benefit from that. Magnesium. This is probably one you guys have heard a ton about just in general, but the benefits of magnesium help with hot flashes and night sweats, sleep disturbances, mood swings, and actual bone health, which is not something we tend to really think about. Biggest thing with magnesium, once again, it does have a ceiling. We don't really recommend more than 360 milligrams a day. And I really, for my patients, recommend that they take a blend. Usually it's like a tri-blend of magnesium. So you're getting all the benefits of that. You know, there's a couple you can purchase over the counter singular, but I would really not recommend purchasing, say, a mag oxide or a magnesium citrate. Those are going to be used for different things. Mm-hmm. You won't be sleeping. Let's just mm-hmm. say that if you take those before bed. So
really good to know.
Yes.
Now, I think the one that I do take magnesium, and I think mine is with a calcium citrate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the magnesium citrate specifically we use for if you're constipated. So mm-hmm. you would really not want to take yes. that before bed unless you're, you know, looking for some other benefits from that.
Right.
But just something to think about. And then vitamin D. It's not just for bone health, immune function as well. We've seen a lot of studies kind of explode right around COVID, and a lot of some of those internists and critical care doctors were doing a lot of work with the use of vitamin D and helping patients alleviate COVID symptoms. And so some good data did come out of that. But bone health, immune function, cancer prevention, depression, are really some of the benefits from use of vitamin D. The biggest thing with vitamin D, you can kind of get different international units on, you know, just if you go to your local pharmacy or grocery store. But I really recommend that you go to your provider and have your vitamin D level checked first before you necessarily incorporate that into your regimen. Same thing with magnesium. It has a very, what I would call a very small therapeutic window. And so, you know, if you are already consuming foods that are high in, say, magnesium, then you might not necessarily need to supplement with that. But for vitamin D, go to your provider, have your vitamin D level checked, and then they can give you a better discussion because it might require you to have extra testing. You know, you might actually, if your vitamin D level comes back and it's subtherapeutic, they may want to consider getting like a bone scan, like a DEXA scan to check to make sure you don't have osteomalacia or osteoporosis or different things like that. And unfortunately, living in Iowa, we tend to see a lot of vitamin D mm-hmm. deficiency. So just something to consider. And then lastly, I have three, and there's probably more, but three supplements that you might see as being marketed towards women who have menopause to help alleviate symptoms, but they should kind of carry a warning with them. Those three are the black cohosh, the soy isoflavones, and then the evening primrose oil. And so the black cohosh, you know, if you have a family history of estrogen-sensitive cancers, ovarian cancer, breast cancer, that is a huge no-no. And so you want to be sure that, you know, you aren't taking something that could unfortunately be, you know, putting you at risk for something else. And then the soy isoflavones, these have like a pseudo-estrogen type property to them. So that would be anything from your soy milk to tofu. There's different types of seasonings you can use, you know, especially in your Asian dishes that contain soy. So you want to just be cautious about that because of that pseudoestrogen effect from those and kind of the risk that it could be putting you at, as well as thinking about, young girls mm-hmm. also have an exposure to those because of the risks that those can carry as well. And then the evening primrose, you know, it's touted for helping alleviate breast tenderness and reducing your mood swings. But once again, that's another one you want to have a conversation with your provider about before taking. So, yeah.
Jade, great. Lots of information. Thank you. And it's kind of like the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, we wanted to be focused and really talk to the women out there, perimenopausal, like you said, or menopausal, postmenopausal, that are having these symptoms, and then just offer some solutions. So thank you so much for sharing the information. If someone has a question or possibly wants to schedule an appointment, how do I get a hold of you?
Well, I see patients in the clinic on Thursday afternoons, so you're welcome to give us a call or use the new online scheduling.
Yes.
And I'd be happy to see you, answer any questions you have. So feel free to contact me. I love talking about this kind of stuff.
Very good. And you see patients 12 years and up.
Yep, 12 years and up. So, you know, I know the gerontology can kind of be a little misleading, but realistically, patients 12 and over, my door's open. So
wonderful. Yeah. Again, Jade, thanks so much for being on the program. To our listeners out there, thank you for joining us and for tuning in. And that will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deese Medical Center, where our focus is you.